Okay, we've got Glenn to speak now.
Glenn? You're gonna say a few words for us, Glenn, thanks.
I've got a lot to say for myself. I mean, it's all in here, but I found it hard to put the words. So I'll just say that he was a huge part of my childhood. A magical, larger than life figure that had this great shed with endless things to do. He'd, have the patience of ours while we hammered nails into useless pieces of wood and made things that didn't do anything. And he would just keep supplying the wood and nails, and we'd be down there banging them together. But I've got a thing that Vicky has sent down, so I'll just read that out. I haven't had a chance to proofread it yet, so...
Good luck.
Hello, everyone. Kate and I wish so much that we could be here today with Terry to share this special moment with our family, to honour a legend, someone who has always made us grandkids laugh. He told us all 1,000 funny and entertaining stories, and we've all told a few about him. Who could ever forget the fish hook in the finger episode at Crookie one year, and a lifetime of Christmas days all spent together in the heat or the rain? The weather didn't matter. Funny things always happen. I'm sure someone has probably already mentioned he was an excellent fisherman who taught us all. I can still see Papu and Babu at the family and the family fishing off the rocks and a pile of kids playing around until we too were old enough to fish. I can only wish a bit more of his expertise had rubbed off on me. We were lucky kids. Mum, Wendy and Bev, you all helped Papu so much. I'm sure he's out there somewhere. Somewhere, thank you all, as we all are. I'm not sure about that. Kate and Jim, send our love to everyone. We are there in spirit. You can all guarantee that we'll be having You can all guarantee that we'll be having an Amber Orchie this afternoon to celebrate the founder of our family's great life. We all miss him, but the legend lives on in all of us. We say farewell to a man who was one of a kind, Vicky, Kate and Jim, lots of love.
Well done, Glenn. Thank you. Great. You people are making my job very easy.
Well, I guess I was wanted to say a few words about Papu, but with Glenn playing the guitar up there, I'm sure that Papu would have had a couple of spoons out. Sapping along and something that I felt it would have gone down well. To touch on everything that everyone else said, the fishing, Crook Oven Heads, the hill, the flat rock, the secret green weed spot, and the inventive thongs that never fell off. He's full of inventions and some great memories. Cheers, Buffett.
Thank you. Nick.
I just wanted to read a poem and say just a message from Marty. Marty is overseas in Paris at the moment. We'd like to have been here. We've actually had quite a few long conversations from him calling from overseas. We just talked about the memories of what Poppy meant to us as three kids growing up. We talked about his old Holden car, which we affectionately known as the Pink Galah, which always had packs of warm chewy in the glove box that we used to devour. We also remembered his tent that was always pitched next to us down at Crookie that was named the Doug Walters Stand. Marty said that all the family get-togethers seldom passed without talking about Papu because he was such a funny character. He actually called this morning before the ceremony and said that it was midnight over there in Paris and that he had just lit a candle in Notre Dame for Papu. Papu was a great lover of Henry Lawson, and I'd just like to read a poem from Henry Lawson's Winnowed Verses. This is a book that Kath gave to Jim in 1944. The Glass and the Bar. Three bushmen one morning rode up to an inn, and one of them called for the drinks with a grin. They'd only returned from a trip to the north, and eager to greet them, the landlord came forth. He absently poured out a glass of Three Star and set down that drink with the rest on the bar. "There, that is for Harry," he said, "and isn't it queer, 'tis the very same glass that he drank from last year." His name on that glass, you can read it like print, he scratched it himself with an old bit of flint. I remembered his drink, it was always Three Star, and the landlord looked out through the door of the bar. He looked at the horses and counted but three. "You were always together, where's Harry?" cried he. Oh, sadly they looked at the glass as they said, "You may put it away, for our old mate is dead." But one gazing out over the ridges afar, said, "We owe him a shout, leave the glass on the bar." They thought of the faraway grave on the plain, they thought of the comrade who came not again. They lifted his glasses and they sadly said, we drink to the name of the mate who is dead. And the sunlight streamed in and a light like a star seemed to glow in the depths of the glass on the bar. And still in that shanty a tumbler is seen, it stands on the clock always polished and clean. And often the strangers will read as they pass the name of a bushman engraved on the glass. And though on the shelf but a dozen there are, that glass never stands with the rest on the bar. Thanks.
Well done, Nick.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to give anybody else now the opportunity, if you would like to say a few words. You can either come out the front or you can say the words from where you sit or if you'd like to stand. If your heart's too heavy for words, don't worry, we all understand. Please. Couple of little things to do, haven't I, Wendy? I've been detailed yesterday, and the first of it is to read a card that was dropped in from Meals on Wheels, and it says, "Dear girls, I am devastated. I was devastated yesterday to hear of your dad's passing. He was such a wonderful man, and I feel that I was privileged to know him." And there's a little poem here, and it's called Sunset's Lasting Light. There's a golden ray of sunset beyond the gate of life, where your loved ones is now resting. Three from moral strife, and why memories are still glowing, beautiful and bright. Time cannot extinguish the sunset's final light. Beautiful words. Now, Wendy, I'll read that thing, okay? James Desmond Bishop was born in Lismore in 1907. He was the sixth child in a family of eight children. Son of William and Frances, Jim's father was employed as a station master by the railways. So as a child, he moved about quite often, living at Mudgee, Kapiti, sounds good, Aussie. Penshurst, Carlton, Cogra. Jim left school at 14 years, getting a job as a copy boy at the Sydney Morning Herald, where he retired 65 years later. That's not a bad effort, is it, eh? During the Second World War, he worked as a a storeman in the ammunition factory and used to ride his push bike each day from Allawah to Botany. Jim married Kathleen in 1928 and they had four children, James, Marie, Wendy and Beverly, James of course being deceased. Jim lost Kathleen in 1993 after 65 years of marriage. He leaves 12 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. He is survived by his sister Beatrice, who is here today. I always say that you can tell a man's legacy from what we've seen. He had a beauty. All these young people and his daughters got up today and spoke so lovingly about another man. And isn't it nice? Isn't it nice? It's wonderful, and you've all done such a good job. And I'm very proud of you. There's a couple of things I'd just like to say before I close. That in this death, it certainly brings sadness, and I said that before. But this time now is for us to unite. It's for us to grieve together, to love one another as we did many years ago. And if anybody's got any what-if questions, was I there for him enough? Did I tell him I loved him enough? Or did I want to say this and didn't? Well, you let me tell you, forget those questions. A, Jim would want you to live in peace with him and his death. And he would like to leave behind, no doubts, a wonderful, what we see here today, a united, loving family. And it's important. So I think this makes me... Oh, no, I've got a couple of other things to say before I go on. I was told, you know, he liked to drink. Not very much, but at his age, in the 90s, as you know, Wendy was concerned, I was told, about him taking his pills with a bottle of beer. Went up to the doctor and said, what am I going to do? What the bloody hell do you think you're going to do? Let him have his bottle of beer with his pills. That was the thing that the doctor said. And the other thing is that I was told one day he was straightforward, tough, masterful, and in fact, lovable. Next day he was a real bugger. Next day he was a real bugger. Maybe that's the makeup of the man, but I think he's left a wonderful legacy, and as I say, I see it here today. So I think this makes me, and should make all of us aware, of what we owe not just to Jim, but to all who have lived and died. Every privilege, every advancement, every enlightenment that we enjoy today, we owe to the ideals, the vision, patience, dedication, and even sacrifice of many unsung people like Jim. He's left us now, not to squander, but to build on that foundation for the sake of those who in turn will follow us. This man, as we've heard to us, was really perhaps a beacon, a special light accepted on his birth from forebearers, and no doubt he carried it faithfully until his death. This special man has now passed on to us, all of us, his baton of light and courage to lighten our own path. So friends, it's our responsibility to accept it and to polish up any rough patches with newspaper and a bit of string, probably wrap it up, and be ready to pass it on in good order to those who follow us in life's unfolding. And just before I do close, there's something I'd like to share with you, and I use it on a common basis, and it's called the Serenity Prayer. I say it when I wake in the morning, and I say it the last thing of the night. And if I've got any problems during the day, I also say it to myself, and it's a simple little prayer, and it's used by people in adverse situations. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. As we all know, one of the things, sadly, we cannot change is the reality of death. But we must learn to live with it, to accept it as a familiar everyday thing. And so, like all familiar everyday things, hopefully things will become a little bit easier. So in sadness, we lay Jim down with our love and in peace.
So farewell, Jim. We leave you where there's no unrest or anguish can touch you, no sadness nor pain or sorrow. But please give us your strength and courage, for we must face tomorrow. And may peace, perfect peace, be your answer. For nobody deserves that greater than you. And friends, on completion of this service today, the family would like you to go to the Forget-Me-Not restaurant, which is at the main entrance of this cemetery, for refreshments and a hot cup of tea. And I think straightforward Jim would like me to say something to you like this. Think of me now as one of rest. For me you should not weep. I have no pain, no trouble thoughts, for I'm just asleep. The living thinking me, the life is now forever still. And life will go on without me as time forever will. If your heart is heavy now because I've gone away, dwell not long upon it, friends, for none of us can stay. And in my fleeting lifespan, as time went rushing by, I found some time to hesitate, to love, to laugh and to cry. I was here, I used it all, and now I am at peace. So tenderly, we commit the body of this wonderful man, Jim, to Mother Earth, from which all life comes, to which in the end all life returns. We are glad that he lived. We are glad that we saw his face and felt the touch of his hand. We cherish the memory and thank him for his smiles. We cherish and thank him for the memories that he's left behind. Ladies and gentlemen, could we please leave this chapel in peace this morning? And don't forget, Forget-Me-Not restaurant for a cup of tea and a hot coffee. Thank you. Good on you, Wendy.
I did all right. Yeah, thank you.
Fell in love with you, would you promise to be true and help me understand? 'Cause I've been in love before and I found that love was more than just holding hands. If I give my heart to you, I must be sure from the very start that you would love me more than her. If I trust in you, oh please don't run and hide. If I love you too, oh please don't hurt my pride like her. 'Cause I couldn't stand the pain, and I would be sad if our new love was in vain. So I hope you see that I would love to love you, and that she will cry when she learns we are two. 'Cause I couldn't stand the pain, and I would be sad if our new love was in vain. So I hope you see that I would love to love you, and that she will cry when she learns we are two. If I fell in love with you, say you will love me if I have to go. You'll be thinking of me, somehow I will know. Someday when I'm lonely, wishing you weren't so far away, then I will remember things we said today. You say you'll be mine, girl, till the end of time. These days such a kind girl seems so hard to find. Someday when we're dreaming deep in love, not a lot to say, then we will remember things we said today. Me, I'm just the lucky kind, love to hear you say that love is love. And though we may be blind, love is here to stay, and that's enough to make you mine, girl. Be the only one, love me all the time, girl. We'll go on and on. Someday when we're dreaming deep in love, not a lot to say, then we will remember things we said today. Me, I'm just the lucky kind, love to hear you say that love is love. And though we may be blind, love is here to stay, and that's enough to make you mine, girl. Be the only one, love me all the time, girl. We'll go on and on. Someday when we're dreaming deep in love, not a lot to say, then we will remember things we said today.